You're listening to Kick-Ass Radio for Kick-Ass People, the show where we interview awesome people who have achieved tremendous success in their lives. Our guests will share with you their story and five tips you can implement for living your kick-ass life. Now for our host, Christopher Roush.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. It's My Life, and we are broadcasting live from our studios here in Southern California. I want to welcome you to the Kick-Ass Radio Show. It's your place for motivation, inspiration, and, of course, edumacation. And I am your host, Christopher Roush, and want to welcome you all to our show tonight. We're here on the Kick-Ass Radio Show to teach you how to create an unstoppable attitude for personal and professional success. And what we do is each week, me and my guests talk about what it takes to overcome fear, what it takes to end procrastination, to set and achieve goals. We talk about relationships, leadership, and all sorts of other kick-ass topics to help you build your confidence so you can live your authentic kick-ass life. And the key word there being authentic. You know, we don't pull any punches here on the Kick-Ass Radio Show. We have fun, and we just tell it like it is. So if you're that kind of person, then you're in the right spot. If you're a brand-new listener, welcome. I hope you enjoy the next hour. We're going to be sitting here just chit-chatting and talking about what it takes to have a rocking kick-ass life, both personally and professionally. And we're here every single Monday evening at 6 p.m., and it's no joke that I hand-select my guest who comes on here, and they share their story and give at least five tips that you can begin using immediately. And, you know, there's not only just the five tips. It's, I mean, we talk about a whole bunch of other stuff, so I really encourage you to have pen and paper ready so you can write some stuff down, because I've proven time and time again that if you listen to something or you're learning something and you take notes, there is a subliminal, subconscious kind of agreement that goes on in your brain that makes it happen. So I really encourage you to write stuff down. If you are driving and listening on your mobile device, of course, you can always go back and listen to the show afterwards. We podcast every single show. For those of you guys who can't listen live sometimes, we're broadcasting all over the world. We have listeners in New Zealand, India, Australia, England, Canada, Mexico. We are all over the place. So if you want to go back and listen to those shows, I mean, right now I think we're on show number, I could tell you right away. We are on show 103. So, yeah, if you want to go back and listen to the other shows, you got to figure we have five tips on every show. So do the math. 102 shows times five. I'm not sure what that is. Probably like 500 and something or other. I'm crappy at math. But that, think about how many tips that is. I mean, that is just amazing. So if you want to go back and listen to those shows, we've had extremely successful New York Times bestselling authors. We've had extremely successful entrepreneurs, business and life coaches. And some of the favorite shows are just ordinary people with really super awesome stories where they've overcome adversity to come out, you know, looking great and having a kick-ass life, just like me. I mean, if I could go from being a homeless seventh grade dropout living in the back seat of a station wagon to having a master's degree and the kick-ass life I have, you know, that's the people. Those are the people I want to talk to. So we've talked about anti-bullying. The whole thing here is personal and professional. You know, we want to make sure you have a well-rounded life and you have fun doing it. I mean, that's just the cool stuff that we're all about. All my shows, you can go to my website. They're ChristopherRoush.com. It's R-A-U-S-C-H, ChristopherRoush.com. You hit the radio show tab, and halfway down is a link to iTunes. You can subscribe to the podcast there if you want to listen live. What you can do is you can go to thekickassradioshow.com. Again, thekickassradioshow.com, and you can follow us there through my service provider, Blog Talk Radio, and you won't miss a single show. It'll actually send you an email, let you know that the show is going to come on, and you can be here live. So again, make sure you have pen and paper so you can actually write some stuff down. And finally, if you'd like to ask a question of either me or my guest during the show, you can call in. This is actually live. I'm right here, right now. The number is 646-378-1582. 646-378-1582. If you're a little scared to be on the radio, you can hit me up on my Twitter. It's called @kickassguide. Or you can Facebook me. A lot of you guys are my friends on Facebook, and my Facebook is up, so you can message me. That's what we got going on here at the Kick-Ass Radio Show. And speaking of guests, last week we had President Obama on our show. No, I'm just kidding. No, we didn't have President Obama. We had Joe Biden on my show. No, I'm just kidding. I'm in a weird mood. Last week we had on my show Miss Judy Schreiner. actually a fellow radio show host. She hosted a show called Off the Record with Judy, and she is a superb woman. I've gotten the opportunity to know her over the years. And we just talked about life, really. We talked about what it takes to have a kick-ass life and what it takes to change your attitude about your situations, you know, recondition yourself. You know, we carry around all these agreements and these things from our past that aren't serving us. So Judy and I just kind of talked about what it takes to have a kick-ass life. We talked about, let me pull out my little piece of paper here. We talked about things like, you know, tackling life in small chunks. You know, we tend to look at things from the big perspective and we get overwhelmed and we kind of go, oh my God, you know, that's just too much. You know, so we talked about breaking stuff down into small chunks. We talked about, you know, let time take care of things. You know, sometimes we try to rush, you know, success and progress, but sometimes things take time. You got to be patient. And we talked about a whole host of other stuff. It's really a great show. Judy, I think the world of her. So, again, you can go back and listen to those shows just by going to my website, ChristopherRausch.com, R-A-U-S-C-H. You can head over there and listen to those shows. Yeah, so we had a blast doing that. And like I said, I'm on show number 103. You want to talk about persistence? It's just been a blast. And, you know, when you have a passion, you got to give it time. You can't expect to be an overnight sensation. You know, people sit there and you talk to some of the people that are successful in Hollywood and they'll say, you know, it took me 20 years to be an overnight sensation. And I've just been having a blast doing this and I love meeting new people. So if you or you know somebody who should be a guest on the Kick-Ass Radio Show, I'm actually doing the next round of bookings. Feel free to send us an email. It's info@thekickassradioshow.com. Again, info@thekickassradioshow.com. I think you're seeing a pattern here with the kick-ass stuff. So go ahead and send us an email if it's either you or somebody else that you think should be a guest on here. I'd love to talk with them. Like I said, I pre-select my guests, so that's no bullshit. I want to make sure the person that's coming on here is definitely kick-ass and is going to help you with your life. That's the goal. And we don't charge you anything. Isn't that cool? You know, no fee. So I really encourage you to go back and listen to those shows and send me an email. Let me know what you think and what you would like to see more of and what you would possibly like to see less of. I'm always about, you know, constant improvement. Lately, I've been batting around the idea of making it a half-hour show. Some people tell me that an hour is too long. So I've been thinking about making it a half-hour show, maybe doing three tips. So I'm not sure, you know, just let me know what you want and I'll try to make it happen for you. So without any further ado, you know, life is great. I just got to tell you, life is great. I just came back from Las Vegas yesterday. I was in Las Vegas for a couple of days investing in myself. Went to a program called Lady in the Champs. It's a speakers conference that helps you become a better speaker, which I do, and business of speaking. So I went to Vegas and didn't really have too much time to party, but I had a lot of time to network and meet new people and learn new stuff. So I'm pretty jacked. I'm pretty happy. And I'm ready to take on the world again. I'm still focusing on speaking to kids. So if you have opportunities where I can speak to kids, that's my big passion right now. I speak to schools every other Friday. My docket is booked through April or May, I think. So that's my big focus. But I've got a couple of ideas for some products coming up and some webinars and some stuff like that. So stay tuned. You can always get all the latest information by signing up for my kick-ass newsletter on my website also. So enough of the commercials and all that other happy crap that pays the bills. My guest tonight, she is a speaker, she is a writer, and most of all, she is a storyteller. Her name is Dasha, and she specializes in changing perspectives and guiding people to self-actualization. And that's, you know, what the core I'm about is changing people's perspectives, changing their ideals about what it is that they've gone through and what it is that they're going to go through so that they can have a kick-ass life. And what Dasha says is she says, change your perspective and change your life. I help you do that. So please welcome to the Kick-Ass Radio Show. Without any further ado, Dasha, are you here with us on the live show tonight?
I'm here. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. If I was doing any better, I'd be twins, which would be it would be helpful, but it would also be very, very psychotic for anybody around me and my twin. So I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm good, but you could send that twin, like, you know, to the other side of the country and do work. I could.
You know, it's funny you say that. I've got some people on the East Coast that keep asking me when I'm going to come out there and speak.
Yep.
And I say, all you got to do is just find me a venue to come speak to and pay my way out there, and I'll be glad to come on out there. But yeah, it was it would be very interesting. I would love to. And one of these days, I will be doing the Christopher Rausch World Tour.
Awesome.
If I had it my way, I would jump in my RV right now, and I would take like 6 months off, and I would hit every single state in the union, and I would meet lots of people and have a lot of fun and change people's lives. But that's to come.
Yeah.
That is to come. Yes, thank you. So I kind of just touched on a little bit about you and what you're about as far as changing perspectives. What I would like for you to do, Dasha, is to share with the listeners what your story is about, where you've been, what you've done, and what makes you a kick-ass person.
And I'm so happy to just talk about myself for as long as you let me. But I want to preface that by saying I think that I'm going to share a story that is odd or not normal, but that doesn't really mean anything to anybody listening. You can come from what you consider very normal life and still make huge changes and recognize where you are and change your perspective. So it's not everything that all the places that I've been or the people that I've met, things that I've done. We all have our own experiences that bring us to that. So.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. So, I was born an Army brat, basically. My parents met and married in Okinawa. And while I was born in the States, we moved quickly back to Thailand, and we lived for a few years in Thailand. I was the youngest of the kids. And when we moved back, we continued to move a lot. So I think it was really great. While it was a major pain in the butt, sometimes it was also really great that, you know, I always had this new chance to be a good student, which I never was, but I always had that chance. And I was a horrible student, and I was also always the new kid, always. So I was always teased, and, you know, I'm sure that some people would call it bullying, but I consider it's kids being kids. Kids are shit. But so then we grew up all over this country and with horses and all sorts of experiences and everything. And when I went to my parents were my mother has passed away. She died, passed in 2004. But my parents were so different from each other. So it was really kind of and it's not something that when I was growing up that I recognized as, wow, they're really different. It was kind of like looking back now, I go, I think I got that from Mom, and I think I got that from Pop, and I think, you know, these kind of things. But my mom was a professional photographer and artist, and a really good artist. And she trained at Indiana University and had a master's degree and worked with people whose names I don't know right now. But even now, people would look at her resume and go, wow, you knew so-and-so, and you knew so-and-so, and she worked with them. So she was a fantastic artist. And she was very much a bohemian at heart. And my father grew up on a ranch life in Idaho and became a businessman. And well, when they met overseas, he was working for the, at that time, I think that he was actually no longer part, no, he was. He was in the Army at that time. I think he was just coming up on becoming a captain. And then he left the Army and was working as in a part of the State Department. So it's very interesting how you have this. He wears a three-piece suit. He goes to work. He has, you know, top clearance, yada, yada, yada. And my mom is, you know, bouncing around and I don't even know what kind of clothes, you know, bohemian 1960s kind of clothing, but nicer stuff. Anyway, so we had these two different worlds, really, you know, that there's that business and you have to know your numbers and you have to have a plan. You need to have a plan. And I think that there's some truth and there's some merit to having a plan. But I think that there are people like my father who kind of took it to an extreme and, you know, the paralysis of analysis. And there were times when he just, nothing got done because we had to plan it. We had to think about it. We had to look at all these things. And I think my sister and I in particular, but sometimes my brother too, would be like, or we could just try it and see what happens, Pop. We could just try it. And our ideas were so often put, you know, not put down, but pressed to the background of need to have a plan. And part of that stayed with me, unfortunately, because when I was in high school, I had decided, even before high school, I was involved in theater and anything to do with acting. I mean, I was just a ham. And when I was in high school, I was like, you know what, this is what I want to do. I want to be an actress. I want to be an actress for the rest of my life. This is fun. I love putting on shows and having people laugh and cry and just being in the center of it all. But my dad wanted me to be a lawyer.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. And so I went to college, and in college, I majored in theater. Well, I majored in communication because they didn't have a theater arts program, but the theater was part of the communications program. So I majored in communications. And I did well in anything that was to do with theater, but I did not do well with anything that I just was not drawn to. But in the back of my head, I was like, well, I have to have a plan. So I would go and I would do a play, and I would love it. And I would, oh, this is great. But I can't do this for life. I have to go do something else. I have to, you know, I'm never going to make a living with that. I need to go do this over here. And I swear, I spent the next 20 years bouncing back and forth between, this is what I would love to do. This is what I want to do. I want to be in front of people. I want to help people. I want to be et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And bouncing to the other side of, well, I'm going to have to get a 9-to-5 job. I'm going to have to get something that pays well and that has insurance and benefits and retirement. Well, I'm going to have retirement because, you know, at 55, what else am I going to do? And I was just back and forth between these things. And the only time that I was happy was in the years that I was bouncing around doing my own thing. And, you know, bouncing around homeless, but in a good sense. I, you know, spent a 3 or 4 months living out of my van and bouncing around to people's couches, people who I didn't even know, but friends.
How old were you when
you
did that?
2 years ago.
Oh,
that,
I was
yeah,
trying
that
to
was
put some time. I was trying to put a little time to where your story was at, and you went from being, you know, in overseas and bouncing around. So I wanted to kind of figure out where that was at. So just for those of you guys joining us, we're on the Kick-Ass Radio Show. We're talking with Dasha Aretola. I think I pronounced that correctly. Okay, and we're just getting to know Dasha and her story about bouncing around, being an army brat, and having parents that were different from each other. Do you think that the bouncing around caused you to be more extroverted because you had to get to know people so quickly?
I think that the bouncing around made me appear to be extroverted. I've recently taken several. I've always thought that I was extroverted. I mean, I've always thought that. I would love being this, and I love doing that. And I've taken tests recently, and I'm actually quite introverted, which is interesting. But I can enjoy both. So I really love being on my own, being alone. I could spend a couple of weeks here in the shuttle bay, which is basically a garage, which is where I live. And I can spend weeks here without seeing anybody, and I'm perfectly fine with that. And then I can also go and be in front of people and be totally loving that. So I think that I've embraced the extroverted facade so much that it has become part of me. But my actual natural tendencies, I think, are more introverted. I think.
Yeah,
I'm
actually
taking a test next week, and they're different.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I just spent, you know, 3.5 days in Vegas and talking with people and being, and then I can also spend a week in my trailer, which I'm going to be doing in a couple of weeks. I'll spend a week in my week and a half in my trailer and not see anybody.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. It is just a very comfortable place. I lived in France for 1 year, and it was actually in 2001 that I lived in France. I was with a French guy, so it made sense to live in France. And I came back, and people were like, oh, you know, don't you miss your family? And don't you? And I'm thinking, I know it sounds horrible, my family. I mean, I was getting emails. In 2001, I was getting emails from them, and you know, we were in contact by phone like once a week. And I was like, I miss my dog. I miss my dog a lot, and I miss my horse a lot. But my actual people, no, I don't actually miss them. I was good. So I was okay.
So how did you get into changing perspectives and becoming a speaker and a writer and a storyteller?
Well, the speaker and writer, I think I'd always been doing that since I was, I was doing some speaking in college, high school. I was doing the debate team and then that forensics and that kind of stuff. I was very good at that. I loved it. And then in college, again, more plays and more of that kind of stuff. And any time that the college needed somebody to go out and talk to somebody, you know, they would be like, well, does anybody want to go? And I'd be like, oh, yeah, I'll go talk. Are you kidding? Getting out of class and go talk to people? That's me. I'm totally into that. And then when I was taking a master's degree at a different school, a different college years later, I was sitting in the dean's office because we were friends, and he got a phone call, and they were asking him if he knew of anybody who wanted to go and speak to this. It was like a summer camp class for young kids, and it was just day camp. They weren't staying there overnight. And he looked at me. And he goes, "Yeah, I think I got somebody who could go do that." And so I went and I talked to this group of kids twice over for two different topics, and I was like, I just love this. But in the back of my head, I was like, "But you know, I can't make any money at this." Which is bullshit. It's just bullshit. It's bullshit that you tell yourself and that you train yourself and you convince yourself. And you're the only one telling – well, other people are telling you that. The most important person that you're listening to is you. And I was listening to me, and I was telling myself, well, you know, I can't make any money in theater. I can't make any money speaking to people and doing what I really love. I have to go do – you know, I have to go get a real job. And the most miserable time of my life was in real jobs when I was working in cubicles and answering phones and wearing pantyhose. Oh, it was horrible. And I'm like, God, why do we? After a while, I was like, I couldn't even get jobs because I would be in the interview and they would say, okay, and everything was going great until they would say, we have a dress code. And I'd be like, why? Why on earth do you have a dress code? We don't meet the public. We sit in a cubicle all day and do our work. Why on earth is there a dress code? And like, oh, well, you know, it's just basic stuff. Like, you know, you have to wear some sort of stockings or a hosiery. I'm like, and I had just moved from Florida. So I had spent, at that time, I had been in Florida for like, I don't know, 5 years. And I was like, totally used to there's nothing on my feet. I'm barefoot. And I'm like, I just don't think that's going to fly. Yeah, I don't think I can deal with it.
Later.
And they're like, I'm like, I know I'm turning down a job because you have a sock requirement, but I'm like, I'm just not a sock person. I'm just not.
Yeah, how is it going to make you do my job better by looking a certain way? My mom used to say, she goes, what do you care if I show up in my pajamas as long as I do my job right? And I've struggled with that my entire life pretty much, you know, as far as, okay, why do you want me to look a certain way? And I get the fact that when you dress professionally, you feel professional. I get that. But I also get the fact that when you feel comfortable, you do better. You're happier. You get along with people better. You know, I agree with you. I think sometimes the dress codes are just a little bit ridiculous. But I also understand it because I've seen people push the dress code in wearing stuff they shouldn't be wearing, like yoga pants to work that they shouldn't be wearing yoga pants. So I kind of get it. You know, it's a balance.
I think there are places. I like what you just said about the yoga pants. I think there are places that, yes, yoga pants do not fit in here. They don't fit into the corporate culture at all. But I think that there are places who, and this is something that I'm going to be speaking on and I have written about, I think that there are places that are like, gosh, we really need some more creative people in our environment. I'm like, well, you know what? You need to make your environment more creative then. You need to be more open to these people coming here. You need to be okay with people who are wearing tie-dye T-shirts and shorts because those are the people that can sit at the cubicle, and you may think they're just daydreaming or whatever it is and not doing anything. And they may sit there for an hour before they have an idea, and they have an idea that is going to set your company gangbusters with stock. So you have to be okay with, you know what, let's have a group over here that can grow, that can have their incense and light their candles and they have their rock music playing, and that the other group of people don't have to go in there and they cannot shower and not shave for 3 or 4 days or whatever it is. They're over here. We don't go in there. We don't bug them. Because I think that they try to mold the creatives into this corporate culture, and now they can't be creative. And you're just sinking your company with that.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. So you guys, if you're just joining us, we're on the Kick-Ass Radio Show. We're talking with Dasha. We're talking about just what it takes, you know, going through life and having different perspectives. One thing I would like for you at this point, Dasha, is to give us kick-ass tip number one.
Well, kick-ass tip number one is immediately, right now, begin standing guard at the doorway of your mind. And I think that it was Gandhi who said, "I don't let anybody walk through my mind with dirty feet." And I think it was Gandhi. I don't have that right in front of me. But standing guard at the doorway of your mind is everything that you know, everything that you are thinking, you are responsible for. If somebody put it in there and you don't want it in there, then kick it to the curb. So if you are telling yourself, like I was for years, "Well, I can't make a living doing that. I have to do it over here," kick it to the curb. And I had to kick that idea to the curb. I had to let it go. I had not just let it go. I had to blow it up and send it out of my head and say, "You are not going to come back into my head again, because you have given me too many years. I have lost too many years to this idea that is total crub." So if you don't want something in your head, you have to get it out of there, and you have to not let stuff in there. And one of the things, and there's a lot of stuff that people let in their head, like drama and gossip, negativity, that you can say, "Well, you know, it's not my fault I'm in such a bad mood because Joe said this." Bullshit. You're responsible for your head. You're responsible for allowing what Joe said to actually go in there and reside there. So
big time.
Get to the curb.
Mm-hmm. That's so true. And one of the things that I'm really passionate about is the words we use, you know, and when you think about different types of words like, "Oh, maybe," or "I hope," or "someday," or something
right.
like that. What trigger words for you are the ones that are bad that people say repeatedly that cause them the negative self-damage?
I think possibly because the one that just came to my mind when you were saying that was, "I wish."
I wish.
It's like you don't have control over it, and you do. You just, it's like, "Well, gosh, I wish I could do that." Or they like to use the word "lucky." "Oh, you're so lucky." And I have seen that with so many people. "Oh, you're so lucky. You can just eat anything." No.
Yeah, I work my ass off.
But exactly, I don't. I don't eat anything. Yeah, what I'm lucky about is that I have made the decision that my health is my number one priority. That's what I'm lucky that I have created this idea, this lifestyle that I've built around. This idea that, "Oh, you're so lucky," or, you know, "You're so lucky that you can drive a Lexus. You're so lucky you have a house. You're so lucky you have, you know," whatever it is. It's not ever luck. It, you know, even I think I'm going to kick off some people here. I think that there is this idea that people are born into a certain, and they're lucky. I don't think that that's lucky. I don't think that's any more lucky than being born into a poor family, because they still have the same lessons that they're going to have to learn. They still have the same experiences that they're going to need to go through in order to gain who they really are. And just because somebody was born into wealth does not mean, it doesn't mean anything. It has absolutely no meaning whatsoever. It's not like, there's just no meaning there. Money really has no meaning. I mean, I live on nothing. So it's not money. It's not, "Oh, you're so lucky," or, "Golly, I wish." It's, you know, if you really wanted it, you'd make it happen. And
well,
if you don't really want it, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, luck, like you said earlier, takes the responsibility out of it. It's like, "Well, you know, you're so lucky, you know, you get that, so I'm not lucky, so I don't have to work for it." But it's like, I was just actually, it's funny you said that, because I was talking with somebody at dinner when I was in Vegas, and I said, "Do you believe in luck?" And he says, "You know, to a certain extent." And I said, I actually believe that we make our own situations by the choices that we make now that are going to potentially set us up to be quote-unquote lucky later on. It's like, "Oh, well, you're so lucky, Chris. You have a radio show. You're so lucky. You have a house. You're so..."
Yeah.
And it's like, you have no idea the blood, sweat, guts, and tears that I had to go through to get this. Go out and make your own luck. It's like people that sit there and say, oh, man, someday I hope I win the lottery. And the first question I ask them is, like, do you play every week and how much? And they're, no, not really. I'm like, well, what? Listen to what you're telling yourself. You're sitting there giving yourself a false hope about shit you're not even doing, and you're placing your belief in something that can't even possibly happen. I mean, how ridiculous is that? It's like, go out and make your own luck. You have to have that commitment. You have to have that dedication. You know, I believe in certain luck in the fact that, okay, wow, that car just crashed right in front of me and didn't hit me. I mean, I've seen some YouTube videos where they've been pretty crazy, and I go, okay, there's a little bit of luck right there. But in life, you make your luck. You make your life.
Yes. Yeah. In fact, there's two things that I want to say to that, and I may forget one of them, so I better start with one of them. When you were talking about the cars crashing in front of you, I think that luck is actually a different name for energy. I think that we put a certain amount of energy out there, and that energy is reflected back. So if we are putting an energy out, I think that, gosh, I don't know, it almost makes it sound like people who are in accidents are asking for it or deserving it. But I think that there's, with a lack of a better phrase, there's something there. There's something to be gained from that. Now, if they ever gain it, that's up to them. If they ever become a better driver or more aware or whatever it is. But I think that there's a certain energy that we surround ourselves in and we put out to the universe and is reflected back. And so I think that there are people who seem to just walk right out of a burning building without a scratch. But if you look at their history, if you look at who they are, their personality, their emotional stability, the things that they've done, their love in their life, I think that they've created a shield. I guess that, it's like a shield. They've created this for themselves, and they may not even know it. They just are really. I'm just going to babble here for a second. I don't think that was going to go over, but go ahead.
Well, I think you make a great point. Just in the tip of itself, it's just making conscious choices of what you're going to allow. And I can't take responsibility for the quote, but it's like the moment you settle for less than you deserve, you get less than you settle for. Making those conscious choices. Life is about choices. I was having this conversation over the weekend, and we were talking about alcoholism. And I usually piss people off with this one. I'm like, because I don't think alcoholism is a disease. I think cancer is a disease. I think lupus is a disease. I think Lou Gehrig's disease is a disease. But I think the choice of picking up a drink is not necessarily a disease. It's a choice. It's a choice whether or not you go to AA. It's a choice whether or not you go to rehab. It's a choice whether or not you hang around those people. So, make your choices wisely.
Right. Yes. I think
that's kick out some number two.
Number two is, after you've gotten rid of the crap that's in there, or you're not letting anything in there, is to put good stuff in there, in your mind. You're feeding your mind with good stuff. And there's so many ways to do this. Oh, my gosh. I think even when I was a kid, it was easy. But now it's unbelievably easy with the internet and the access to information right at your fingertips and the access to inspiration and motivation and people, the world leaders. Everything that they have ever done and said, right at your fingertips, right there. Feed your head. Read what they've done. Watch their videos. Watch, even watching WIMP video where you're watching kittens. It's feeding your mind. It's putting happy, positive, loving, open stuff in your mind. And you have to have that in your head. And you have to have it in your head so that you have this well to go to so that you can push aside and get rid of and not allow other stuff in there. You can put your head around little kittens and say, you know what? I don't want to hear your gossip. I don't want to hear it. I've got good things in there. I don't want to hear your crap anymore. Go away.
Yep. It's like I tell people, I quit watching the news and following politics probably about 5 years ago. And I've been happier ever since. I get a little bit of news when I hear the traffic reports, and I get a little bit of news on Facebook. But all things, being equal, sitting there watching the news and hearing that North Korea is, point bombs at us and kill us and all other shit, it's like, okay, what am I going to do? Go over and talk to Kim Jong-il and go, okay, can you please not point things at me? It's like, you know, whatever's going to happen is going to happen, and I'm not going to put my head in the sand necessarily, but, you know,
right.
I choose to feed myself with the good stuff that's going to make my life kick ass and that I'm able to go back out and help other people, and that's what I focus on. So I think you're spot on with that.
Exactly.
You know, feed your mind with education. There's no, I'm the no excuses coach, so it's like people sit there and say, well, you know, I'm not getting ahead of my job. And I'll ask them, so what are you doing about learning about more about relationships and communication and listening and understanding and empathy and teamwork? Nothing. Oh, so tell me what happened on House of Cards last night. Oh, my God. It's like, okay, you realize that if you Google anything and you put leadership.pdf, you're going to get an ass load of different articles about leadership. If you go to YouTube and type in leadership, there's probably more videos there than you can watch. And so I just tell people to take responsibility for the life. And like you said, feed your mind, put the right stuff in there, take the right choices, you know, and don't have any regrets. I mean, that's
yeah.
my whole mission in life is to teach people not to have regrets and not get to some point in their life and go, well, I didn't save for retirement. Gosh darn, what am I going to do? And I'm not making
yeah.
fun of Southerners, by the way.
Yeah, I don't know. What I do the same thing. When I'm making fun of something, I talk with a hick. And which is too bad because some of my best friends are the most intelligent people that I know, great sense of humor, and they're very Southern. So
yep.
I hope that they don't hear this.
I do too. So give us kick-ass tip number three, my dear.
Well, number three is going to sound odd. And I was thinking about number three when I was first thinking about the five tips that I wanted to share. And I was reading something about, I'll tell you what the tip is. The tip is tell yourself and convince yourself that it's okay for you to enjoy your life and live it to the fullest that it can be. I think that there are people, and I don't think this, I know this because I've read it and I've seen people and I've heard people actually tell me that they feel bad about being happy or living
mm-hmm.
fully or something positive in their life, and they immediately feel some sort of a twinge of guilt, like either A, they don't deserve it, or B, it's about to be taken away, which, you know, if you put that energy out there, it probably will be. And
mm-hmm.
But they've convinced themselves that they're not worthy. Well, if you convince yourself that you're not worthy, like you said a little while ago, you're not going to have anything worthy. So you've got to tell yourself, I am worthy. I'm a good person. And I'm going to work for this, and I'm going to have this, and look what I can do for myself and for my family and for the world when I achieve this. And it's worthy. I am part of a bigger universe, and I'm deserving of this. I am deserving of the good things that come my way.
Do you think people don't feel that they deserve to be happy?
I think that there are many reasons for that, and one of them I think it's different for each for different generations. I think that the generation that you and I are part of, it's possible that we had parents that worked very hard, and we watched them, and everything was almost hoarded, kind of hoarded that we have to hang on to this. We have to hang on to this. We have to save. We have to scrimp. We have to save. We can't go buy something like this because even though it's something that we really want, we can't go do that because, you know, we don't know when we're going to get money again. And even if they had good jobs, both of my parents, we didn't have to worry about income, but we did anyway, which is why I go back to that idea of people thinking that people are born into wealth and so therefore they're lucky. People, it doesn't matter what their wealth level is. They still have the same issues. They still have a fear of loss and a fear of not enough. There's not like a lack of abundance, and
yeah,
I think
scarcity
that,
mindset. I call it.
Yes, exactly, scarcity mindset. But I think that a scarcity mindset is a different symptom for each generation. So I don't think that, you know, the kids of like the children of our age group. I don't have kids, but you know, I have nephews and a niece. I think that they also have it, but they show it in a different way. And of course, when they're around me, I'm like, yeah, let's just go do it. Let's just, you know, who knows what we're going to do tomorrow. Let's just go do this. You want to go see a movie? Let's just go do the movie. You want to go roller skate? Let's just go do it. Because that, in my scarcity mindset, I guess I think I have turned it around in a sense of, I don't know what tomorrow is, so let's just do it today. Let's just have fun, enjoy, live as much as we can, and do as much as we can on our bucket list before we're about to kick the bucket. So, but I don't know. I think that mindset comes from so many different places. I think it might possibly be a inherent tendency for people. I think maybe, and I'm just thinking out loud here, I think that maybe one of the things that I love is Maslow's hierarchy of needs, and I think I talked to you about this before. I love Maslow's hierarchy of needs. And on that list of needs, the first level is physiological needs, and the second level is safety or security needs. I think that maybe if we don't have an inherent sense of loss and scarcity, that we don't have a need that we have to go through, that we have to face. I think it's good that we have to face these needs. I think it's good that we have to figure out how to get through these levels of self, onto self-actualization. Because if we had everything and we you know, didn't have any kind of a need to do anything or whatever it is, and it was that we were born with this, that we're like, oh, you know, everything's good. We have all that we need. What would drive us? We have to have something to drive us. And I think that that's what the hierarchy of needs is that we're driven by different needs through this hierarchy until we reach self-actualization. And
well, that's very true. One of the things I was going to say is for our listeners out there, one of the, you know, it comes back to shame and guilt, you know, as far as being, okay, you know, I deserve to have this. And for the listeners out there, I was actually introducing this again over the weekend. It's kind of funny. Dr. Brené Brown does a talk. She does a TED talk about shame and vulnerability. She has a program on audible.com that is actually her live talking. It's a 6-hour audio program, and it's basically her talking live about shame and guilt. And I could not stop listening to it. It was so amazing. And through that, I realized that I don't necessarily have shame or guilt over being happy and deserving what I deserve, even though of what I've been through. But I found out I have shame and guilt towards relaxing, because we never relaxed. It was, you know, went, you go. We don't take vacations. We get smarter. We get more. We try harder. Right. You know, we have to prove ourselves constantly. And I learned from listening to that program, wow, that's kind of interesting, because if I sit down on a Sunday afternoon at 1 o'clock to do something like play a video game, or I'm like, why do I feel like this? I should be up in my office working on something. And over this last year, I've really given myself permission, like, Chris, no, you don't have to do these things. You get to do these things. And actually I saw a therapist years ago, and they said, you know, you have to make sure that you're making time to do those things. Otherwise it's going to drive you batty. So Dr. Brené Brown, I really encourage you guys out there to listen to her. Just a fantastic program for kind of uncovering stuff. And she's the straight shit. She's the real deal. I love her.
Yeah.
So give us a quote.
I'm sorry, what was that?
No, I was just going to say, finish that thought and then give us kick-ass tip number 4.
Okay, well, let me real quick say, when I was writing these things down for me to focus on, I came across this quote that I don't know if anybody is actually whoever said it, but it's basically, if you're on a guilt trip, God was not your travel agent. So I have to remind myself of that also, and something that you just said, because I want to finish that thought also, is kicking yourself because, well, you know, or not allowing yourself to relax. I do that all the time, and one of the things that I enjoy to do is read autobiographies and about people who I respect or know a lot about or don't know a lot about, but I've heard their name many times. And one of the people that I had read about was I read Steve Jobs' biography by Walter Isaacs. I forget how it goes. And then I was reading also I was reading several biographies, and the idea came to me that they, as very creative people, they would spend a lot of time just sitting and thinking and not physically actively doing something, busy, 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 busy. And I was always in the mind, not always, but I was kind of like thinking, I need to be busy. I have to be busy. And when I catch myself, you know, checking Facebook or looking at a video or whatever it is, I'm like, oh my gosh, I have to be busy, busy, busy. No, I don't. It's okay. Not only is it okay, but it's healthy. We need to have downtime. We need to be able to turn off certain parts of our brain and let the other parts of our brain just go tie-dye. Just go. So that's finishing up that idea.
I love it. I love it.
Okay.
We got about 14 minutes left in the show, so we got two more tips we want to get to. So give us kick-ass tip number four, Dasha.
Tip number four is whatever your goal is, whatever your mission is, whatever your project is, keep it in front of you. One of the things that I did in one of my past lives was I was a health educator and a personal coach for fitness and that kind of thing, and teaching classes and that kind of thing. And we would always be talking about whatever your goal is, keep it in front of you. Put quotes on the refrigerator. Put little pictures of perfect or healthy people or whatever it is, or your genes, whatever genes you want to fit back into, keep them in front of you. And so whatever your goal is, whatever your project is, whatever it is, the life that you want to live, I don't know, I think that I've heard it on your show. You talked about dream boards.
Yep, vision boards.
Vision boards, yeah, vision boards, dream boards. I've heard it many, many times, and so I'm gonna go over it real quick. You can create a bulletin board, and when you see things that inspire you or see things that you go, oh, wow, and sometimes it can be a quote. Sometimes it can be a photograph of, like, Scotland. I have a lot of photographs of Scotland. I so want to go to Scotland. So you take this picture and you put it in front of you, and you keep it in front of you because that helps you to stay motivated when you do go to work and you're surrounded by people who don't have dreams, or they had dreams and they've been pushed to the side, and now they're at the water cooler talking about, you know, the State of the Union and how horrible the state, or whatever they want to complain about, because they're not happy unless uncomfortable unless they're complaining. And so you need to have this stuff in front of you all the time. And when I was making a huge health change, I was reading a book and I started to make a change, and then I wasn't reading for a while, and I started to slide back, and I realized I was sliding back, and I was like, you know what? I have to keep reading. I have to have this in front of me all the time. And I spent probably 3 years reading health book after health book after health book, so I was never without reading something at night on health and on diet and on nutrition, on anatomy and physiology and all of that, and keeping it in front of me and keeping it alive until I was where I wanted to be, which is where I am now. I'm very, very comfortable health-wise, exactly where I am. I don't need to lose weight. I don't need to gain weight. I don't think my boobs are too small. I don't think my boobs are too big. I'm perfectly happy exactly where I am. But it did take me a lot of reading and keeping the goal in front of me to get here. And so, and it may take you a couple of months to do that, and it may take you a couple of decades to do that, but it's worth it. Keep it in front of you.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree with that more. I know that from all the people I've interviewed on this show and in my life, there's quite a few things that are the same. And one of them is they kept their vision, they kept their goals, they kept, like you said, your mission in front of them. I have actually a digital vision board now. I have it on my iPad. And whenever I'm working, I actually have a digital picture frame at home that I have all my pictures on that I just turn on while I'm working here at home. And then I also have one in my office that is my iPad, and I sit there and listen to music, and I have probably about 50 or 60 pictures of vacation destinations, of different materialistic things, of quotes, of pictures of me speaking, fake pictures of audiences of 10,000 people, and they just constantly keep rotating all day long, every single day, and sure enough, little by little, each one of those things keeps coming into my material life, and it's so true. It's like it just goes back to the simple idea of what you focus on is what's going to happen. And if you're focusing on all the bad things in life and focusing on the news and focusing on the political campaigns that are coming up, which is already making me want to throw up. Somebody actually on my Facebook page today, Casey Eberhardt, said, if you guys are going to talk about, if you, any of you are going to talk about the political campaign, please delete me now. And I just was laughing. It just goes back to what you focus on is what's going to materialize in your life. If you focus on, like every night I go to bed and I say out loud what I'm thankful for that day. So every day I try to come up with something that's different, and I think, okay, I'm thankful for Dasha coming into my life and being a guest on my radio show. I'm thankful for the person on the freeway that let me in when 20 other fucking people wouldn't let me in. My latest thing is road rage again, and it sucks. So yeah, keep it in front of you, you know, and spend a little bit of time meditating on it and thinking about it and seeing it and feeling it and touching it. But most importantly, going after it, not hoping, wishing, and praying for all you God-loving people out there. Go after it. Make it happen. Take little baby steps, and you will get there.
And what you had just said, something I wanted to add to, is envision it and feel it. Imagine what it will be like when you're here. Imagine how you're going to feel when either you're 20 pounds lighter, or you are walking across the mountains in Scotland, or you're snowboarding down whatever. Imagine it and totally own it in your head. Totally internalize it.
Exactly. I mean, that's what wet dreams are made of.
Exactly.
I had to throw that in there.
I'm a single girl. You don't need to tell me.
It's like, oh, wow, if you imagine it hard enough, look what happens. That's kind of interesting. We're on the Kick-Ass Radio Show because we can say whatever the hell we want. Kick-Ass tip number five, my dear. Oh, speaking of which.
Number five is go scratch that itch, whatever it is. One of the audiences, I guess, that I'm directed to now are people over 40. It's generally women over 40, but it's actually anybody over 40 because for whatever reason, the number 40 has become some sort of a mysterious milestone that everybody thinks everything goes to hell in a handbasket after you hit 40. And so people are like, well, I'm 39 and holding. Or some people are actually 29 and holding, and they're actually 57. But they're so afraid to be 40. And I'm like, I didn't actually have a hang-up when I hit 40. But I did slowly, it did slowly add up. I was starting to think about mortality and, you know, how much time have I got left and what have I done and what have I not done and what is on my list. And, just go scratch that itch. It doesn't even matter what age you are. If you're 18, go scratch that itch. Wear a condom, but go scratch that itch, you know?
So what's on your bucket list that you still need to do?
Well, on my bucket list, I probably have, Cheryl, quite a few bucket list items with you in that I'm going to be using speaking as my vehicle to see parts of the world that I haven't seen. And I have seen a lot of the world. I really have. I've seen a lot of the world, but I haven't seen a lot of the world. And I want to. To me, the National Geographic is great, but it's not enough. I want to go see it. I want to see the people. I want to meet the people. I want to see their smiles. I want to know that Maslow is right. The same human needs that I have are the same human needs that they have. They just are going to go about it a little bit differently than I am, but I'm going to go about it a little bit differently than you are, and that's okay. So I really want to go see all these things in the world, that's my bucket list is almost like, you know, it's 197 countries. In some of them,
so out of all the places,
our countries. Go ahead.
I was going to say, out of all the places you lived or you've been, what is your favorite place in the entire world?
Oh my gosh, I don't think I could pick all of them. I lived in Tahiti.
You have to. It's the Kick-Ass Radio Show. You have to pick one. Otherwise, a fake rubber hand's going to come out and slap you.
Oh, that would be fun. I'm gonna say France, but it's not because it was France. It was because of who I was with, and I was with somebody who he's my favorite ex, and and what I'm going to say is that the majority of what I gained from that had nothing to do with him. It was, you know, the old I love it. It was Lao Tzu or whoever said, or Confucius, it's probably Confucius, says, when the student is ready, the master will appear, or the teacher will appear.
Mm-hmm.
And I was ready. And so he was my teacher in a lot of things, but I was ready anyway. And so I could have been in many, many places with many, many people, and I still would have gotten those lessons because I needed to get those lessons. But I did get them then, and it was in France, and he was my teacher, and I got so much growth from living in France. And not only living in France, but we broke up in France. And so when I came back to the States, I was a miserable wreck for quite a while. And when I finally got clear in my head and realized what the situation, you know, what I had done, what my part of it was, because I wasn't innocent or guilty. It was a mutual thing. And I finally started thinking things through. I was like, there's just such a peace that comes over, this understanding of the world just keeps turning and it's okay. So I'm going to say that was my favorite place to live, even though a lot of it was actually pretty miserable. It was a very depressing, France was never really on my bucket list, or Europe was never really on my bucket list. Italy was, but the rest of Europe, not so much. And so I wasn't like, oh, I'm in Paris and, you know, hoity-toity. And I was like, yeah, I live in a place where I cannot jog anywhere because you have, you know, 500 yards and a road you have to stop at, and 500 yards and a road you have to stop at. And they consider anything that has three trees a park. So it was not... I'm not a city girl. I grew up in the country. I grew up with horses and fresh air. It was very, very difficult. And I did not speak French before I got there. I did learn some French when I was there. And now I'm learning French because I was like, yeah, it annoys me that basically the French language kicked my ass. I don't like that. So now I have to kick its ass. But it was a very miserable, at many times, part of my life, and yet it was so good for me. So where was yours? Where's your favorite place?
My favorite place in the world would have to be, it's a geographic spot here in Southern California, San Luis Obispo, Pismo Beach, Morro Bay. It's all about Central California, and it's just amazing. It's the beach, it's laid back, people there are super cool, the weather is cool, great places to eat, wide open spaces to ride bikes, of course the beach, my favorite spot. One of my things on my vision board is that I'm going to have a house on the beach and I can look out in the morning and see the ocean and have my office there and be able to do stuff and change people's lives. And I take my trailer up there every once in a while and I kick it and I actually live as if, which I teach people to do is live as if. But we are winding down the show here. So what I would like for you to do now, if you would like, is give people your contact information where they can get a hold of you and continue the conversation and have, talk to you about some of the stuff we've talked about here on the radio show.
Okay. Well, they're more than welcome to contact me through Facebook. I have a public page, so they can either find me through Dasha Aratola, and then the other one, which is Dasha Speaker/Author Storyteller, that page. And that's where an actual conversation and positive goes on. Or eventually I'm going to be more active on my website. I'm not real active right now because I'm doing a bunch of changes, but basically it's Dasha.com. So D, and that's D-A-C-H-I-A for those of you who are actually going to write this down. I hope you're not driving.
Cool. Well, I thank you so much for being on the Kick-Ass Radio Show. I've had a blast talking with you and talking about these five tips. And for you guys out there listening, whether it's live right now or you're listening on the podcast, really take to heart the information that Dasha shared here and the conversation that we've had that you've been listening to, because this is all kick-ass stuff that if you begin to really change your mindset about what you're feeding your mind, what you're believing in, what you're looking at, what you're hoping for, you know, if you start implementing that stuff right away, you'll be amazed at how fast your life can change. And one of the biggest things, and we didn't talk about this, is really truly think about the five people you're around the most, because that is such a key factor in what you're going to do and what you're going to achieve in life. If you're around a bunch of people that are naysayers and negative, disappointed donkeys and all other crap, you need to find new people. And I proved that this weekend. I spent 2 days with awesome people. I came back energized. I came back filled with great ideas. I didn't can spend it drinking and hanging around a bunch of people at a strip club. You know, so think about the five people you're around the most. And if you're a longtime listener, I just want to say thank you so much for listening for a long time. And if you're brand new, thank you for coming along. Again, you can email the show, info@thekickassradioshow.com, if you'd like to be a guest or if you have an idea for a guest. But until next week, I wish you guys all the best. Again, listen to this stuff. Get in touch with Dasha. And I wish you guys all a super kick-ass week. Thank you for being here. And we will talk to you next week, Monday night, 6 p.m.